You're listening to Guy-Fi episode 75.
75.
My name is Kara Zor-El. 24 years ago, my planet was in peril. My cousin, Kal-El, was sent to a planet called Earth. You may know his story, but you don't know mine.
On Earth, you will do extraordinary things.
Until now.
You must go. I love you, Kara.
Sorry. I'm calling about the correspondence dinner. I need to make sure Ms. Grant doesn't end up next to Bill O'Reilly again.
Hey, I was wondering if maybe you want to,
go see a movie at night.
I can't. I'm sorry. I have a date.
Date? Fun. Dating's fun.
Previously on Guy-Fi.
Yay, we've returned. And yeah, and I have guests.
Right. So I'm a Guy-Fi virgin.
Aaron fell asleep.
Yeah, I had to pee.
He told me that.
I still have not forgiven
him. Yeah, so you can tell. Yeah. The Green Lantern tattoo and the Justice League tattoo. Anyway, so he showed me the Green Lantern first flight, and I fell in love with it amazingly.
And who doesn't like a hungover Spader trying to like wake up and then deciding he wants to kill everyone?
Spader as the voice, like, oh. I love his voice. I love his voice.
Favorite part of the film, hands down, is when Quicksilver dies and Scarlet Witch just like breaks down in absolute emotion, and then like all the robots around her just disintegrate into like molecules, and that really just shows you how powerful she can be.
Let me start that again. I've got food now. Hang on.
Hangover happy.
It's the Hangover Happy Meal podcast. That's what I've been talking about. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the all-new, all-different Guy-Fi. I'm Dean with special guest Lucas.
Hiya.
Hey. And this is the Happy Meal. What did we just say it was?
The Hangover
Happy Hangover Meal. Happy Meal podcast. Because I have a massive hangover. I went to the Great Aussie Beer Festival yesterday and I drank a lot. I had some arguments about Game of Thrones with geeks. And
we'll just have them again.
We're going to just have them all over again. So this morning's been a bit of a struggle. So we've actually gone to Hungry Jack's. We're not sponsoring the episode, but if you hear us...
And don't have Happy Meals either, but you know.
This is true, but if you hear us eating, that's what we're eating. Because I'm basically eating a burger and chips and loving the shit out of it. And how are we doing, Lucas?
We are doing fabulously. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
We haven't... you and I haven't had a good sit-down chat for a
few months.
Good few months. So there's plenty to catch up on.
I think it was last year. That we actually...
Wow, that's a lot to catch up.
Like, last time we recorded. And that was just after you were back from your holiday.
Yeah.
When you had all those comics to read.
Yes.
I think that was your last one.
I think so. When I had that huge stash to work through, which I have.
It's important. Okay, so let's dive into something that we started talking about in the car on the way to getting Hungry Jack's through the drive through, and went, wait, save for the podcast. Supergirl.
Right.
Okay, so the previews come out, which you said you haven't seen.
I haven't
watched
the trailer.
But what's more interesting, in the past 24 hours, the actual pilot episode has been, air quote, leaked. So, and I think that's a way of gauging reaction. I don't think it's been leaked.
Of course not. Nothing's ever leaked anymore.
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting when we were talking about it, is as we both take turns eating hamburgers. Mm. Was, do you actually turn around when you haven't looked at the trailer, you didn't feel right about it?
I haven't... Something just doesn't sit well with me. Not just with Supergirl or whatever. I think it's the DC television as it stands.
TV-verse.
The TV-verse. Even though, all right, so we've got...
Are you up to date on Arrow and Flash? Have you watched the whole season?
Yes, I'm up to date with those.
We'll talk about that in a sec, yeah.
I'm just not happy with the direction it's going.
Really?
Particularly when the enemy is doing so well.
What do you mean?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really picked itself up, polished itself off, and delivered some awesome stuff.
A brilliant year this year. Like, I absolutely loved Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Finished watching Daredevil last night.
That's what I'm doing today.
And, you know, testicles worn as earrings, because I love this thing. Agent Carter, back for season two. It was only supposed to be a one-off. We all knew. They told us it was only supposed to be a one-off.
And wasn't
we loved it so much that they're bringing it back for round two.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't be happier. Arrow, Flash, this new Legends of Tomorrow.
Look, I'm worried about Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow's had a really bad season.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy season 3 of Arrow at all.
No.
I actually, like, the whole Lazarus pit, everything that it was tying into and putting together, it didn't work for me. But The Flash was great. I don't read the comic, though. Do you read the comic?
Yes.
Okay, so this is where we're going to have very different experiences.
Yeah.
But I thought this, the actual Flash television series was brilliant.
I enjoyed it, but it's two different sides of a very tarnished coin, I think. You've got...
Tell me.
Arrow's trying to be the whole dark Batman-y kind of look thing to it.
And Flash is trying to be themselves into a corner, but I started rewatching from the start again. Like, from the start, Flash is just really... It really embraces what
it was upbeat, and that's the thing. The Flash was always upbeat and always will be the lighter side and will be the fun side.
But look at how we did it, and then look what they brought out with that season finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
All about all these characters. It was just so many Easter eggs. It was so wonderful.
Yeah.
And to have something so dark be shown. And it's essentially like one part of the brilliance of the new Star Trek movies, where it's a parallel universe. Like, the Flash we're experiencing is a parallel universe, and that's our
Is another thing that I'm really getting shitty with Warner Brothers and DC about.
Parallel universes.
No, just... We've seen how well Marvel's doing, right?
Yeah.
I've seen the solution to the problem that Warner Brothers and DC are having about, oh, you can't have Superman because we're trying to do the movie version of that and we don't want to be crossing those lines, all that sort of stuff. There's an easy fix to that. Make your TV-verse Earth 42... And make the cinematic verse Earth 47, and they're in separate universes.
Non-comic book audiences will have issues with that.
I don't think they will. You can just say, oh, that's just the TV show. No, but this is the movie show.
Well,
Movies. Audiences aren't dumb. They can separate those two. Yeah,
but you are talking about TV shows that exist on the CW. Supergirl is something completely different.
Which, again, is pissing me off. Because we've got Gotham on Fox... Which everyone's got an issue with, which I actually enjoy.
The only thing I enjoyed about Gotham was Jada Pinkett Smith. And I know she's not in it anymore. She's brilliant, though.
Yeah. I mean, I was loving the Riddler. The exploration towards... At the final episode of season one, when he finally comes into his own and you see his mind actually fracture.
Oh, okay.
And you go, yeah, here we go.
All right, so maybe I'll give it a bit more of a chance.
Yeah. I love Gotham. Everyone else hated it. I don't know why.
Is it back for another season?
I believe so.
Okay, that's good.
I believe so. You can't have Baby Bruce discovering the Batcave and not actually
do it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he discovered his father had a big secret, which is actually the fireplace moves out of the way and suddenly there's a secret passage.
But then what does that mean? Was it like a Wayne sexton?
I don't know. Did Daddy Wayne have the sling up? I don't know.
Daddy Wayne had a sex dungeon, and maybe Martha didn't quite know about it, or maybe she did. Yes. The saucy minx.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is hard then because you haven't watched the trailer, and it's really good. Like for me, it throws back to Lois and Clark. Like it's really taking a fun approach and a tone that I loved as a kid when I watched Lois and Clark. Like, it was like, I can't believe they've ever made a TV series like this and no one's ever thought to do it.
Maybe call me old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had a mouthful.
Don't leave my joke hanging, doll. Call me old-fashioned. I think I'm finding it difficult introducing Supergirl as a TV show without an established Superman. I know she's a character unto herself, all that sort of stuff, but her kind of story pivots on his origin story.
But I think they're going to play into that. I think they're going to turn into that. We're going to see. It's all right. We're eating during the podcast. There's going to be wrappers. It's just the way it's going to have to go. Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see, really. I mean, I have via special download the pilot. We can always watch it.
We can watch it. And then see what there might think. Be a part two, listeners.
Since we're on the TV talk, let's dive into something a little bit more before we get into comics. Because I feel that once you and I start in comics, there will be no end to that conversation.
Yes, no.
Game of Thrones this week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit of an uproar about the Ramsay rape scene at the end, where Sansa and Ramsay have gotten married. Ramsay basically forces Sansa to have sex in front of Theon, her stepbrother kind of.
Well, yeah,
I know, it all gets more confusing, and there's a lot of Days of Our Lives to it.
They grew up together as brother and sister, basically, even though they're not by blood.
And there's been quite a lot of talk about it. The Mary Sue, in fact. So the Mary Sue, .com, they announced that they were no longer going to be doing any reporting on Game of Thrones because we didn't need to experience that way. The character of Sansa didn't. Everything could have been done much better.
Right.
And it got into an interesting conversation about rape and what rape is. And it wasn't. And the good thing about it, a lot of complaints have come from the fact that this is kind of the last straw in a very long line of straws.
Mm.
Even though I'm like, come on, we've been watching this the entire time.
Mm.
But and yesterday, I ended up in two really interesting conversations because we started a conversation at the Great Beer thingy, and one of them was like, was it rape? Sansa, yes. I think yes, and yes, it was.
Yes,
because
it wasn't consensual.
Theon's there. Ergo, well, it's right. Not. It's
doesn't matter. It wasn't consensual.
Oh, how do you know it wasn't consensual?
She wanted to be treated like that.
No. Well, no, but
it's still rape, regardless.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not on the side that it wasn't rape. By the way, it's just this is the only way we get to this conversation.
Right.
But the interesting thing as well was we were all talking about Ramsay and Sansa, and then one of my friends she just turned around and went, "You're forgetting the most important thing. Do you know why it's rape? He made Theon watch and Sansa and Theon have a relationship," and we went, oh my god, everyone forgets about that even though it's such a pivotal thing with it. And you just go, shit, that's so very, very true. And what's more interesting though, like it's for me, I don't want to comment on it too much because I want to wait till the next episode to really see where this takes all the characters.
Yeah.
If Sansa doesn't develop further from that moment.
If this isn't a catalyst for her to truly
become the Queen of the North.
Yes.
I think there's no question that it is.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I kind of look at it and you really see, especially in that scene, which was beautifully acted by all three actors involved. Like,
and I'm sorry, but Ramsay's hot.
Well, yeah. But there's something really masterful about the way that scene was shot and shown and done.
Yeah.
But in what has been quite a lackluster season, let's be honest. But there was something really... there's something really telling in the sense that Sansa is now very much, as much as people have complained about the characterization and the portrayal at times, she gets slammed, and I think she does a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Gets some damn great costumes. Sansa, is her hair still black?
No. We had the bath.
That's right, the bath. Her. Like, all she needs to do is get the dirt out. I was so confused by that. But Sansa is very much, has become her mother, her mother's spirit, her mother's energy, while Arya has become her father's.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to watch. Like, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad that they've made the decision not to. I mean, have you read the books?
No.
They've made that. Well, in the books, because we do go a bit off, the mother isn't actually
dead yet.
Well, she dies and then
is brought back to life. Yes, yes, I did.
And that's not going to happen in the TV series.
Which I'm glad.
Which I'm very glad with. Because this allows Sansa to really, like, become something great.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the crap out of that. But the outcry about this scene has been a really interesting one. It's really interesting, the debate it sparked. But more importantly, I need to wait to see the next episode before I can really comment on it.
I would agree with that. We need to see the repercussions of that.
And the development for
all of them. Will this break Reek? Will Reek finally become Theon again and go,
well,
you know,
I think
what,
this
that
is. Like,
that
I think
is what...
this has been... It's. But what's really interesting amidst all of this conversation where everyone's like gone, oh my God, like it's rape and a lot of people. But what people haven't really focused on, which I found really interesting, I'm getting deep now, is the sexual assault of Theon. Because he's a male, because
he was raped.
He was raped, he was... mutilated because he's a male, because it's been more insidious, because it's been a plot device and it wasn't just in one scene. Everyone's focused on Sansa and not on Theon. And I find that so interesting as a culture, and especially like this really interesting, and I put that up on the Guy Fawkes Twitter, and it got I ended up in some great conversations about it.
I think
all of it is I don't agree with rape on any way, shape or form,
of course
but
not.
The kind of show that we're watching, this kind of thing exists, and it's really interesting when you look from a social point of view about how we focus on the female rape and not the male one.
I have a counterpoint to that.
Bring it.
I don't think it's along gender lines.
Okay.
Of the I'm going to bring three things to the fore here, and three instances of rape in the show.
Yep.
We've got Sansa.
Yep.
We have Theon.
Yep.
We have Cersei. Raped by her brother on Joffrey's throne.
I still
we don't... There wasn't this... There was a bit of a, oh no, that's not fair. He can't force himself on her for Cersei. But there wasn't this hullabaloo as there was for Sansa.
Oh, there was.
I disagree, because...
There was with Cersei, and it's not a Sansa thing. I think for a lot of people, it's that this is a breaking point. But there was a lot of massive outcry, especially because that's not... Like, it was rape on the coffin of your son. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, sorry, you kept talking.
Because both Cersei and Theon have been villains at some point in the piece. Well, absolutely. Cersei still
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Cersei are. Still is.
She will always be.
Theon has been a villain in the past.
Totally.
Sansa has always been the poor victim. She's always been that girl who's just long-suffering and, you know... So her rape, I can understand that would cause such a hullabaloo. Bigger,
but honestly, like, Theon has been Reek more than he's been Theon in the show.
Has he?
He has. Think about it. Yeah.
When did he become Reek? Halfway through season...
He was kidnapped. No, no, it wasn't halfway through season 4, was it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you think about this mutilation...
Oh, he was at the end of season 3.
Mental assault. Yeah. All right, we've had 2 seasons of it, because he wasn't really a character until season 2.
No.
He was very, very, very minor in season 1. And when you think about this, and think about it, and it's just really interesting that even in these... I mean, I respect this outcry and these people that are going to have this issue, and I actually really respect the Mary Sue and other websites for making that stance.
Mm.
Because I think it's a really interesting one, it's an important one that we need to have within the world in which we live in.
Yeah.
But they all keep forgetting that this has been, with Theon especially, something we've seen so much. And if it was a man and a woman, it wouldn't air.
Mm.
If it was a man and a woman, it's something that they would have changed direction.
Yeah.
But it's 2 men. And I think on a Gay Geek podcast, I think we can interestingly explore this. And it's funny how much more it is accepted. And except it's possibly not the right word, but it's excused it's allowed excused. Because and it's just really interesting. And I'm really,
but I don't. I'm thinking that a lot of people would argue that that isn't rape. That Theon, what Theon went through, that was just torture.
No, but this is continuous torture. And I'm not saying rape. I said sexual assault.
Mm.
Because it is like taking away his penis, making him watch someone like actually.
Someone he has grown up and cared for,
forcing him to be in an environment with this person, and then watching her be violated.
Yeah.
The one issue I have in what was a very powerful scene, I think all actors involved portrayed it brilliantly, and I think it was shot great. My one issue was that he ripped the dress.
It was a beautiful piece.
Well, no. Like, it was. It was a beautiful dress. But in that entire scene, the one thing that felt out of place for me was that he ripped the dress. Everything else was so strong.
Mm.
And that just...
I think that action is suggestive of ownership.
Oh, completely. And it does speak to Ramsay.
Of course.
Because when you think about it, this is a society in which women are cattle. It's as much as it's been romanticized again and again and again, this is a society, both in the books and in the television series, where women are cattle. Cersei, especially, it's like, I am the queen. I'm like, you're not anymore. There's a new one.
Yeah.
I am the queen regent. You're going to be going off to marry because we need that, and you're going to have kids with the Poofta.
Yeah.
Though, actually, now let's talk about the gay new world.
Yes.
Mm. I was really disappointed with all of this. I'm glad it's being played on some kind of scale and it's being done in an entertaining way. But I just find it really strange. Cersei has created a scenario in which she is going to get fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm waiting for Lady Elena.
But it doesn't
Elena.
Make sense
I'm
to me.
I'm wanting Lady Elena just to come on, get in there and just...
But this is all the characters, for all the characters. For the Queen, for the awesome... bitchy grandma.
Lady Elena.
Like, she just... It seemed odd that everyone fell into this scenario and didn't see it coming.
Mm.
Everyone. And so I did some Wikipedia-ing and had a bit of a look. There's no real spoilers in this, but what's more interesting is within the books, Cersei really does cut out Queenie. I've got to remember people's names.
Marjorie.
And Marjorie is having a go at her in a meeting. And she notices on the board, she can see that one of the other clans is coming to attack and how dangerous it is and how Cersei hasn't properly fortified something. And she's like, you are fucking up. You are making a mistake.
Mm.
This is dangerous and you don't know. And I know. And you can't see it. And this is why you can't do this job. And that is what preempts Cersei to do all of these things.
Yeah.
Well, and not having that scene and not having two really strong women actually have that kind of an intelligent take on. Like, it's not dynasty.
On tactical matters.
On a tactical matter.
Wasn't a bitchy.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't got wine for you.
Exactly. Like, and that's the thing. It's made this whole stance for everyone involved less.
Yeah. Yeah. Had it been over.
And we needed some level of catalyst to show that these are actually smart women.
Yeah.
They're not just being bitches.
Bitches.
And that's something that's kind of shat me a little
had
bit.
It, had it been something about the administration of the empire or the kingdom, you know, and disagreements over
for these
stuff
people,
that affects everyone.
Exactly. And for these people to have gotten to this point, it's like, come on. They are not stupid.
Yeah.
But and I'm a little disappointed with how this is playing out this season.
Yeah.
And even with in relation to the gayness, I actually have found it really interesting to go, okay, when it's all turned on its head and brought on the table, it's gonna be a disaster for Cersei.
Yep.
You know, and it's just how is she not plan and see this ahead enough? It's not that she's wallowing in her grief, you know, and that's where you want grandma or whatever it is to turn around and go, this will come about you in the ass, sweetheart, because you fucked your brother.
Yep.
And just walk
and
off.
Put him on the throne. Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice.
But we'll see. Anyway.
Yes.
Let's get down to brass tacks and talk comics.
Right. God.
Well, okay, you have somewhere you want to start. We're basically, the main thing we wanted to start to sit down and talk about today was the Convergence and Secret Wars are going on. So there's Battle World in Marvel and Convergence. And it's the end of the world as we know it, yet we feel fine.
Yeah, well, mildly ambivalent, really.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Okay, are we talking DC first or Marvel?
I think we can talk collectively. Well, all right, we'll start DC. We'll start DC because that's my area of expertise.
Exactly.
When this whole little hullabaloo was announced, I immediately accidentally dubbed it conjunctivitis rather than
convergence.
Pretty much just, oh, because we're all just going to get a mix of stuff and all whack it in your eyes, basically.
Mm.
Now, for some context, we all know that DC have done what they've done for the last... For over and over again. For this month and the month going ahead... Pretty much, let's bring out some of the stories from the back catalogue. We'll make a story that ties them all together, pretty much because we're going to be moving offices from New York to LA.
Oh, really? Is that what this is about?
That's what this is about. We're moving our main offices and all our crap and everything. We've been in New York for this long, since the start, but they're consolidating all of the DC, Warner Brothers, everything to LA. So the reason we're going through this is...
Cleaning house. Spring cleaning.
Moving all the shit. And while we can't be running 50 or 48 or whatever odd titles over those 2 months...
Yeah.
While trying to actually move the business as well, let's just create one title, pull some shit out of the archive.
I'm excited for the shit, though. Can I tell you, like, I've grabbed Superboy, I've grabbed a couple of issues that have interested me... I haven't read any of them.
I've swore off everything. It's been a spring clean for me as well. I've said, right, cancel all of my pull list. I'll take conjunctivitis.
Did you read Batman?
Which one?
Batman.
The most recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finish that off. Yeah.
I really struggled with it.
Yeah. So did I.
Like, I got it only because everyone told me what happens in 40, and then I read it and was like, Endgame, and I was like, I'm really struggling with this because you're making Batman versus Joker, it seems like this mythical...
Yep.
It's too mythical and too heavy.
Yeah. I struggled with it as well. But, back to the case in point. I've gotten through the first 4 issues of Conjunctivitis, and I've thrown my hands up and said, that's it, I'm out.
Well, nothing's really going on from what I hear. I hear like it's just, you all must fight, and there's fighting.
Yeah, it's all fight. And they've got characters from Earth 2 who are the main characters for... the story, and suddenly now we're underground in the magical area, and I'm just like, I don't care.
It's really interesting.
They've lost me. They've completely lost me, and suddenly we're going to have a nice little reboot again.
Yeah.
I've sworn off.
Okay, because it's kind of interesting where
lost me.
There's a simple... All right, you heard it here first. Lucas might not be going back to DC.
Comics full stop!
I don't believe that at all.
No, I don't believe that at all.
It won't happen. But, okay. It's really interesting when you look at Marvel, who are doing the same like kind of thing. Essentially, in Marvel, what they've done is Secret Wars. So they've it's been a slow story of worlds ending that's happened ever since they created the new Marvel U.
Mm-hmm.
And Hickman's been building a story that's been coming to this point where very universes have been ending, and the universe was meant to end and everything was meant to stop, and because of the will of Doom and Doom's magic and what Doom's done...
what Doom did to Doom.
Yeah.
Use your teeth.
I know, it's so confusing. we have Battleworld, which is a collection of elements of the multi-universe, fractured moments and sections that are held together by Doom's sheer will. And that's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've only read, I want to be clear, I haven't read any of the tie-ins, even though I've got all of the ones from this week. I've only read Secret Wars 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. Like, I think it's really strong. I'm really enjoying what's coming out of it. It's really interesting to turn around and go, we're wiping the slate completely clean, allowing people to tell the stories they want and the ways in which they want to tell it, and then coming out at the end. And I mean, I know, and like with everything, it will end. Let's see how I feel after I read some of the tie-ins. But I'm actually quite pleased and enjoying where it's at. Issue number one, especially. Yeah, have you read them? You've read them both? Okay, you haven't read them.
I haven't even looked at them.
Oh, this is so hard because I can't talk about them. Issue number one.
I won't be.
You what?
I won't be.
You won't be reading them?
No.
Really?
There you go.
So I can just say stuff?
Yeah, go. Knock yourself out.
Issue number one is the Ultimate Universe versus Marvel 616, our universe. Because they're like, we have to. If we don't kill them, they'll kill us. And that way our world can survive.
Right.
And they're literally killing each other.
Right.
You see Mr. Fantastic creates a lifeboat to try and get some people free, and that gets destroyed.
Right.
And you literally see him watch Sue and the kids die.
Right.
It's really strong. It's amazing the characteristics that it's tied into.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really powerful first issue. I was really surprised by it. And then issue number two, it's focusing on the Thors of all the multiverse. They come together and they are Doom's army.
Right.
And one of them comes into power and explaining, you know, it's all because of the will of Doom that we still have this, and Doom's, and it's all true. Like, and it's so interesting looking now at, it's not just here's one Captain Britain. There's like 65 Captain Britons, right, if you want them to be. And it's kind of fun because apparently within the context of this, as another person was telling me in one comic, you've got in Manhattan Avengers from the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimates, and also the Avengers. And also, so it's kind of like they exist all together and they know this isn't right, but they're all like, but what can we do
about it?
Or can we do anything?
Right.
Like, this is if we break this, apparently, my mate has told me that I need to read it, but that's what I'm reading, because there's this really interesting scene where it's like, if we break this, is there something left to break back to?
Yeah.
And this is really great. It's really, I love that idea and I love the elements. And for me, being able to take these moments and tell these stories and harken back to things that we all know and like.
Mm.
I think that's really
exciting. Well, I think that's again, Marvel doing it right and DC dropping the ball.
I feel bad because there's automatic direct comparison for them all the time, and DC just always seems to be coming up short.
DC needs to really look at themselves. But this is the thing,
and I've been trying. I've bought quite a bit of DC books. Like, I bought Convergence books. I haven't bought Convergence, but I bought tie-in books, all these number ones, just to see what they're like. Not taken with it. I sat down after finding out that Batman dies in Batman 40, and went back and read all of Endgame and hated it.
Yeah,
like Endgame Endgame wasn't well. And another one of my mates was like, "It's great." And then I sat down with them and went, "I need to know why you think that, because I will never trust any recommendation you give me ever again."
Yeah, well, because your future recommendations are based on.
I don't understand why you think that is good.
Yeah,
because it just wasn't good.
No,
and when instead of Batman being Batman, Batman is like this knight, and Joker is like a dragon.
Yeah,
and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is not trying to perpetuate. They're trying to
mythologize
this, exactly, and in mythologizing it, you take away everything that makes Batman enjoyable for me to read. Everything. If that story happened in Wonder Woman, I would be fine with it.
Yep.
But happening in Batman's universe just killed me.
Yep.
And this is where I just keep going, what the fuck? Now, with Marvel's Battleworld Secret Wars universe, I'm getting every issue at the moment.
Mm.
I put myself down for every single one.
Yep.
I'm very curious to see.
All the tie-ins, everything?
Everything. You know, I got a little annoyed. I was in my comic book store and I was like, I want everything. And the owner was like, oh, that's like over 20 titles. And I was like, do you not want me to spend money here?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's just... And I get where he's looking at, because he's concerned whenever these things happen and someone goes, I want it all, by the time you've read issue one, the orders for 2 and 3 are already in.
Yeah.
And if you go, I don't like any of it, then they're stuck with that on the shelf.
Yeah.
Welcome to retail.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's, I know, the it's industry easy, you signed up for, Sunshine.
For me to drop one after issue number one, it has to be really awful.
Yeah.
But I haven't read any yet, so I don't know where that's going to go.
So that's why
you're
choosing,
you're not picking up any.
I am not picking up any of the tie-ins. I will get all of Conjunctivitis, just so I've got a nice, neat little package that goes in the box, and that's it. That was all. That was the lovely journey that I went on with the new 52.
That's so
it finished up with
Conjunctivitis. So why are you bothering with Marvel? Because you read Marvel as well, yeah?
I read Marvel. I think I've dumped all of my Marvel as well.
Why?
For me, it's a financial thing as well.
Well, you don't have the
my pull list had gotten atrociously large,
out of control.
Out of control, and there was no. Oh, but I like this one, and then it got good, and then it got bad, and then there was no separating that for me. So totally. I said, look, you know what? This Universal reboot that they're both kind of doing
is a
good chance for me to throw my hands up and say, I'm out for a bit.
Fair enough.
I love the direction that Thor went.
Oh, wait, have you seen the...
Read the last one.
Okay, we'll talk about that after this.
Loved it.
Wasn't it amazing?
I was crying on the train.
I was so like, oh my God, it's Jane, and so strong, and God, that's fucking wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, to give
perfect.
Us, and this is just an example with Marvel as well. Like so many of the, there are so many titles, and it's all really the female-driven ones: Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, Thor. They are ending their run with not the world suddenly ending, but really doing it in a way that's a tribute to the character.
Yeah,
that's a tribute to the story that they've written, and it really doesn't end the story for that character.
Yeah,
and so I don't like the ones that are doing the whole, oh my God, the world's about to end, and trying to make that a fundamental moment for the character. It just shoots me.
No. But, yeah, so, was loving Thor, was loving, to a lesser degree, but still having fun with Guardians.
But
it was a chance for me to go, well, that's, they've all finished off.
And it's a chance
now it's Secret War, that's fine, good, that I can leave that note.
You can always come over and read them here.
Yeah, thank you.
I will give you
Conjunctivitis, it's been shitting me. I just said, look, I can't afford to get all of the tie-ins as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is what's interesting. Like, I don't feel like with Marvel you need to get any of the tie-ins. I don't think it's any kind of responsibility, which is why I'm excited to go, let's get them and see where it lands me.
Well, it's the same thing with DC. You don't have to.
I'm enjoying the
particularly
opportunity,
knowing the backstory,
like especially what Marvel have done on so many ways. Whenever they've done a new Marvel .1, .2 reboot, whatever, I'm really enjoying the ideas and stories and energies and creativity that the writers and artists are doing, and that's what I want to kind of soak up.
Yeah.
For this first, like, and I'm basically grabbing all the number one issues and then getting on a plane.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to be, I'm not going to have any comics with me when I'm overseas. I'm having 5 weeks off, and I'll take my iPad, and there will be comics on my iPad.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting I'm not getting anything new. Besides the fact that I don't want to cut around, everyone's like, "Well, why don't you go to a comic book store and grab it there?" And I'm like, "Nah."
Yeah.
Like I'm going to enjoy.
I'm going to cart it around.
Let's see what my life is like without comics for 5 weeks. And not for the fact that I'm being busy, like not like during midsummer when I just don't have time to go and get them.
Yeah.
Let's see what it's like when I'm like, I'm just going to have them waiting for me when I get back.
Yeah.
And I'll get back and I will literally pick up 6 weeks worth of comics.
Mm.
It'll be expensive.
I've lived through that. I've lived through that. Yes, I had to do an installment.
Yeah, you did, you did. Yeah. I won't do that, I'll survive them.
But yeah, look, DC... Knowing the backstory of what the tie-ins would be, half of them are just stuff that, oh, that was a nice little story that we never got to tell.
Yay.
And pulling it out of the archive.
Do you think that's nice or not?
I think that's nice, but I the motivation behind it and trying to tie it all together with a story, with an overarching story.
It's not working
story,
for you.
It's not working for me. We've got all these separate cities that have been captured by Brainiac on
it's
one
so,
world.
Do you know what? It's so interesting that they both have such similar...
That's the thing. They're mirrors. Like,
they are so mirrored.
These two stories are very, very, very similar.
And it's really, like, insane because it's going to force direct comparison.
Mm.
Direct comparison. And it's such a shame because it's just... yeah, my mind is still blown by it all. Yeah,
that
it's
and the fact so that you know they're pulling back, they're pulling out Silver Age. You know,
yeah, I mean, a Marvel's doing the same thing. And they've got like X-Men from the 90s in one on one place, and
yeah,
and like okay, cool, but what the fuck? Like, it's just I just don't see. It just seems odd that this is where we're at and this is why.
I think it just kind of reeks of desperation as well. I think readership's been.
I find it interesting for Marvel, where it's Hickman's story had to go somewhere. I don't feel Marvel felt, in storyline at least, things were dropping, so they needed. I think it's really interesting that they've taken this direction for. That Marvel have taken this direction at a time when Avengers is out and when the cinematic universe is hitting goals, and they're choosing to
reboot their entire.
Well, no, not just reboot, like really go, these are the comics, they exist in a different world, and you need to be on it, but you don't have to be. Yeah. And while at the start it was very much about mirroring and sharing, like Hawkeye got a costume that was kind of like the Hawkeye in the movies and stuff like that, this is very much this is what's going on in the comics.
Yeah.
And that I like. I think it's quite bold. I think it's quite smart.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens with that in the future.
Well, that's the thing. When you're trying to build two separate media universes and still trying to make sure that they're relevant to each other.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel's, again, kicking goals. DC's fumbling with the ball.
It's such a shame. I mean, you're one that reads them both, but it just does seem to be the way to go. So what are you going to do with all your free time now that you don't have comics to read?
Oh, I don't know. Masturbate? Oh, no. There's
always time to masturbate.
Yeah, there's always time to masturbate. Well, I really need to get back into my animation. I really need to get back into my... I've got projects that I always kind of... Yeah, really would like to start that and never do.
And never get around to it.
I just get distracted by it.
So it's time to hit that.
It's time to hit that. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think I've still got maybe three or four titles on my pull list.
What have you got? What have you got there still?
I think I've got the big three. So Wonder Woman. I've got Wonder Woman, I've got Superman, and I've got Bats.
Batman.
I just can't. Even though I'm going to struggle with Bats not being actual Bats.
Well, I was so disappointed with the way that storyline ended.
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited to read it, and I was just really disappointed with the story as a whole.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of being disappointed with Batman.
Mm.
It's the one title I've never been disappointed with when I've picked up at any time.
Mm.
And I just can't get into it. And that's, for me, not to be able to get into Batman, like I grew up on him, is fucked.
Yeah. And I think the fourth one, as a gay male comic book reader.
Kevin Keller?
Midnighter.
Ooh.
He's getting his own title. I feel obligated to at least give it a look when it kicks off.
Okay, well, here's something else I'm going to bring up with you then. Have you thought about going to the Melbourne LGBT comic book group?
I will be going. It's on... when is
this Monday.
This Monday, yes.
So, which means I have to get this episode out before
this
Monday.
You will.
That'll be maybe my job on Sunday. But yeah, it's happening on Monday, so this is a little plug for that. I'm going to be there as well. Hayden, who you guys who follow us on Facebook would know, I did an interview with Hayden that I put up on samesame.com.au. Hayden, who's organised it, and it's literally just going to be a bit of a gay old time, and we're kind of going to meet at the first meet and have a chat and say hi and have a think about some titles you might, or storylines you might want to look at and focus on for the group to kind of read.
Yes.
It's going to be good fun. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I think it's going to be really interesting because, you know, gays, lesbians, transgender, there's a lot... LGBT, who have I missed out?
Intersex.
No, well, it's only... The I is not in it.
Oh, we don't have the I.
It's the Melbourne LGBT...
Right.
...comic book group, which isn't offensive to intersex, because it's very clear that it's all about anyone who wants to come.
Yes, of course,
but lesbian, gays, LGBT... Bisexuals.
There you go, the bis.
They always get forgotten. Look at me just not getting my gay alphabet right. And, it's going to be really interesting to see where that goes, because that's a lot of different voices, a lot of different ideas, and a lot of different expressions. So I'm really curious.
Expressions.
Expressions, it is. Like, and I mean, if someone turned around and said, where would you start? What's a good title for you to begin with?
Yeah.
I would actually, one of my first suggestions would be Runaways.
Right.
Carolina Dean. I think, because I've been thinking about it, I'm like, what am I going to suggest? I mean, I've got the first issue where North Star came out. I think that would make for a fun conversation.
Mm.
But as a group of people getting together, talking it and looking at it, who, you know, like, what the hell? I'm really curious to see.
Interestingly,
yeah.
When I lost my shit with current comic, current comics coming in. I said, right, well, I'm going to go back to my back catalogue. What am I going to read? I am just now about to finish off my second run through of Why the Last Man.
Oh, yay. Oh, actually, that's definitely one I would love to read.
Exactly. Yeah. That considering that, that would be one I would suggest.
Absolutely.
As someone getting into it for the first time, that is a great story.
Yeah.
And it raises a lot of interesting questions.
Gender politics.
Absolutely. All that sort of stuff that you would consider, that you wouldn't actually think about.
Absolutely.
But it was a great, that was a great series and a great story, and that was definitely something I would raise.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Like, I guess I always just go to the superhero one. A friend of mine wrote in the group on the Facebook page, he goes, will we be looking at gay manga? And I was like, I really hope so. And the thing, it's like, we'll look at anything and everything. Like, it's about what the group wants to explore, what the group wants to read. And the thing with this kind of stuff, you might not like the book for that month. That just means don't read it and don't go to the thing. Like, it's going to be different every single time. But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what this leads to.
What gets suggested, yeah.
Well, the other thing, I'm going to put this in your head as well, Midwinter is happening in August. And the Spikers, the gay volleyball team, are having a superhero-themed trivia night.
I did see that.
And I'm going to be there. Right. I haven't figured out who I'm going to dress as yet. I found a guy in the UK who makes rubber costumes, and he made himself a Nightcrawler one. So I am fat, but I'm still thinking I could be a fat Nightcrawler in a rubber suit. So that could happen. It's even got the rubber feet and rubber hands, like it's perfect.
Right.
So a part of me is going, maybe I'll get that made, or maybe I'll just spend that money on beer. We will see what
happens. Yeah, that's the scale of torn.
So it's weird because that's the week that I come back from the UK, so I need to plan my outfit now.
So you've got a guy in the UK. Is he in the UK?
He lives in the UK.
Right, so you can actually pick it up while you're there.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my thought. But I'm definitely going to go to that. Apparently, all the members of the volleyball team are dressing as the X-Men.
Right.
I hear a rumour there's a dance involved, but I'm like, they've each picked a different X-Men character, and every now and then they've picked the guy that's French to be Gambit and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so I'm very curious to see how they're all going to turn out. I hope one of them Storm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, let's end the podcast there.
Yes.
I didn't know how else to end it. I was going to say, I'm going to see if you feel like watching Superwoman Girl.
Superwoman.
I forgot her name.
You exposed yourself. You're out there now, Kara. Everyone will know about you, and you can't take that back.
I don't want to.
Media magnate Cat Grant of National City's new female hero, Supergirl.
We can't name her that.
We didn't.
Shouldn't she be called Superwoman?
What do you think is so bad about girl?
I'm a girl. And your boss, and powerful, and rich, and hot, and smart.
So if you perceive Supergirl as anything less than excellent, isn't the real problem you?
Kara?
I'm going to tell you something about me that for most of my life, I've run from it. But last night, I embraced who I am, and I don't want to stop.
Oh, my God, you're a lesbian. Oh, Kara, that's why you're not into me. This is great news.
I'm you not gay. I'm her. The woman who saved the plane.
Okay, right.
Okay, so we've just watched Supergirl. We've watched the pilot.
Yes.
What's your opinion now? Come on, that was really good.
That's your opinion.
You don't think it was good?
I enjoyed. There are elements I enjoyed. Elements I wasn't such a fan of.
Like what? What didn't you like? We're not spoiling anything for anyone though.
No, we won't be spoiling anything.
It won't be out for like 6 more months, but as a series. But you know what? Like having it in Superman's already established, and I don't know Supergirl. Like, is this her story?
This is her story.
This is
a variation of her story. Yes, there are elements that is new, and
like, is that like the prison and stuff?
No. Pretty much, Kara's story is very similar to what we just seen, but pretty much, yes, she gets sent at the same time. Just before,
yeah,
but ends up in a
sort of. She gets here later.
She gets here later than he does.
Yeah,
so he grows up. He gets here as a baby.
So that's all
grows up, and that's so
true.
So pretty much what we've seen. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I mean, come on! Like you've got to admit that was really fun. That was really strong.
It was for a pilot.
It was a really strong pilot. Like with anything, I give it 3 episodes. Second episode always dips.
Yeah.
After something that I enjoy, and third episode is where they round it a little bit more.
You make your final.
But as a pilot and as a start to this story, that was really good.
It was. There was a.
A lot of exposition.
That's what I hate.
But within if you're dealing with the storyline of the history of Superman, I'm kind of glad that they went nuts on getting that exposition
out of the way.
Like, they really did. Like, they shot you with it really fast, really quickly at the beginning.
I know.
And I was glad for that. Like, but otherwise, do we really want to get... We know this story. It's not a new story. It's one that's kind of going on in movies as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's the characters and how they fit within it that make it really good. And I love having a female superhero that's not butch. Do you know what I mean? Like, has this
girly gentle side. She's still girly.
A really good female, positive female energy... For a hero that I enjoy. Let's talk about the most important thing, and that's the amount of Botox that Calista Flockhart has had.
Oh, my lord. Like,
I don't know if that was an actual
choice. She has to keep Han Solo happy.
Well,
but
as
Ally
McBeal, her face moved so much. And as Cat Grant, her face doesn't move at all.
Who I'm glad they brought Cat in.
Yeah, totally. Like, they've done well. I'm assuming they never mentioned Superman, because I'm assuming because
of rights. But he's always the man in steel, and the big man in blue, and him.
But, okay... How much work has she had done?
Oh.
What a fun character, though. Like, what...
I think... Well, the thing is, in the comics, Kat is a character unto herself.
Yeah.
She's very... I think that portrayal of Kat was a lot bitchier than
we know. Well, Kat was a bitch. Do you know what
I mean? She was a bitch, but she wasn't... high-powered super bitch I can fire and
exactly
fire
like and that but I kind wink. Of like I like that kind of play. It's interesting when she's like, why shouldn't I fire you, you know what I mean? Like, and I like that kind of interaction. I think it's really fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing. I walked away really happy. Like, this could have been really bad.
What you
don't know about the trailer as well, the trailer shows you literally the whole episode. They didn't drop a little bit. It's snippets from the beginning to the very end.
Right.
So you really know... I have a sense of everything that kind of happened here. And it shows it in order.
Right.
Like, so it really gives you that whole... The only real surprise was the stuff with the older sister.
Right.
But that was great, you know? Mm-hmm. And having it be about her coming into her own. Like, I was happy, but I want to hear why you weren't.
That's the thing. It's hard for me to actually nail it down. I'm one of those people who will reserve judgment I'll definitely give it a few more episodes.
You're certainly going to give it a few more episodes, and that's, I mean, I know we've got 6 months before they come out, but
I'll definitely give it a few more
episodes. What a nice solid start.
It was a solid start. I mean, there's and I'm giving it the pilot license as well.
The thing with it all with Superman is there is this cheesiness that naturally comes with Superman, and you can't escape it. It's just a part of that and that universe and that hero and our portrayal of it for so long. And I think they played with all those elements really nicely.
Yeah,
you know, there's a real strength to how they choose to do it. Having her fly for the first time, really avoiding a lot of kooky stereotypes and making it, and then literally having her go, "You try carrying a plane for the first time," and all that kind of stuff. I enjoy it. I'm very curious to hear what a couple of my friends who are feminists think about it, because I'm curious to see whether they see those as positives or negatives.
Yeah.
But I actually, for me, it's nice to have such a well-rounded character. It's really about, and when you think about that kind of life that she's had, you know,
I'm actually liking the main, I can't remember, I don't even know the actress's name.
Alex?
Right.
Great. Right, well, that's not the actress. The one, which sorry, the one
Supergirl.
Who's, yeah, I can't remember her name either.
Fantastic
but she
actress.
Was great. Really,
really owned really it. Really, strong. And also had fun with it.
Yeah,
you could tell she was having.
She
fun
She has
with
a
it.
Lot of fun with it, and it's so nice. Do you know? I don't. Yes, we have the bumbling Clara at the start, but it's not Clara's bumbling to hide who she is, which is what I thought it was going to be, like very Clark Kent.
Yeah.
It's actually just
Kara,
the sense
Kara
that
being
she's,
who she is.
She's and that's really nice to see.
Yeah.
Like, whether she's wearing glasses or not, whether she's got the suit on or not, she is growing as who she is as a person.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with what she's hiding and everything to do with a person who's just not that confident.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's really cool. And she does a really good job with it. Like, a really good cast. Calista's face is weird, but it's so weird. Like, I wonder if that was an acting choice or whether that's she's.
No,
so
I think that was
it
was
just
a choice.
Won't move.
Yeah,
but that's a huge like. Like, that's huge. Though I like her as a blonde. I'm walking away really happy. I'm very much looking forward to the series dropping next in 6 months' time.
Is it 6 months away?
I think it's 6 months away.
Wow, that's a long way away.
Can't wait to actually watch the series and start this journey all again.
There we go.
But you're walking away a bit happy. Okay, we're going to go again now. Thank you for coming and having a chat.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We look forward to having you again next time.
All right, we shall.
See you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
This one has the S. Or super, just like your cousin.
It's not an S. It's my family's coat of arms, the House of L.
Welcome to the Department of Extra Normal Operations. The DEO monitors and protects Earth from extraterrestrial presence. These beings, some of them are powers from your darkest nightmares.
I can help you stop them.
I don't trust aliens. You want to help? Go back to getting someone's coffee.
Kara, it's me. I know what you're thinking, but the world needs you to fly. And so do I. So what do we do now? First things first. You need to change. This is my fight song. I didn't travel 2,000 light years just to be an assistant. People of this city will die. You have to let me stop it.
Make sure you win.
Wanted me to do this? Why did he just tell me?
Because he wanted you to choose it for yourself. Same way he did. Here, from him.
It's the blanket he was wrapped in when he was a baby.
Apparently, this cape won't shred.
Thank you.
Now, don't you have a city to protect? You know, up in a way?